Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey guys, this is Zach Koenig from Miles Away. We've got a very special episode today, and that's because we've got a really cool giveaway, probably one of our best giveaways we've ever done at The Points Guy. One of the world's best reviewed business class products is about to get a whole lot better with the launch of the 787 Dreamliner, and we're giving you a chance to fly it for free. In connection with today's Miles Away episode, all about Istanbul and Turkey, we're running one of our most exciting giveaways yet. A very lucky TPG reader, podcast listener, and Turkey-bound traveler will walk away with 2 round-trip business class tickets between US Gateways and Istanbul, 2 nights with breakfast at the Four Seasons Hotel Istanbul at the Bosphorus, and 1 night with breakfast at the Four Seasons Hotel Istanbul at Sultanahmet. Depending on your routing, you might even have a chance to try out the new 787 business class. So here's how to enter to win. First, you're going to want to subscribe to Miles Away and Talking Points, both of TPG's podcasts, on Apple Podcasts or your platform of choice. Rate and review Miles Away on Apple Podcasts or your platform of choice. Listen all the way through this special episode of Miles Away on Turkey, and then submit your entry via our official Google form. The winner will be chosen at random, assuming you meet all of the requirements above. Check out our full giveaway post for all details and requirements. Good luck and safe travels. I'm very jealous of the winner. Welcome back to Miles Away. Today we are venturing out to Istanbul, Turkey. And listen to the entire episode because we'll have some clues that you'll need to participate in the giveaway. But joining me today, we have Nick Ellis, TPG's reviews editor. Hey, Nick, welcome back to Miles Away.
Hey, Zach, good to be back here.
Walk me through the trip that you had. So you were there for about a week in total?
Yeah, I was elsewhere in Europe first. So I flew from Nice, France, on Turkish Airlines into Istanbul, new airport, taxied for maybe an hour and a half. And then finally
right into the city, into downtown.
Yeah, basically, it felt like we were going downtown at that rate. The airport itself is huge. Like, you walk in and you don't see another person for miles.
Really?
Yeah, it was crazy.
I've been wanting to see it for a while. I mean, this has been in the works for quite some
time.
Yeah,
and I think that maybe it's just because where I came from, like, I didn't see anything. It wasn't busy at all, but I walked just in these enormous corridors with soaring tall ceilings and huge wide walkways. It was kind of surreal.
All right, that sounds very different than Istanbul Old Airport. Is that what they're calling it now, the Old Airport? They still have some flights out of there?
I think they do because they still, like, reference it at certain points, but I don't really know.
IST
is the new airport.
That's the new airport. Yep. So I flew into the old IST a couple of years ago, and they definitely not feel spacious at all. It was an entirely different feel.
Yeah,
but it
sure
did have a very cool business class lounge. So even back in the day, I mean, it's been around for a while, but that was one of the top business class lounges. So when I was in there, I'm like, well, what's going to happen to this? This is kind of a nice space.
Yeah, so apparently the new space and the new airport is just as good or better. They have, like, made-to-order food and huge spaces, wide open. I didn't get to see it while I was there because I was flying in coach and arriving. But
Yes. Well, I'm still very jealous that you got to visit the new Istanbul.
Yeah, it was cool for sure.
How far is it from the city?
It took almost an hour or so in a taxi.
Oh, did you hit traffic
get in,
or is it really far
not
away?
Not really any traffic. It seemed really far away.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the old airport's probably a little bit closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a lot of cities are doing this, building these brand new airports far, far, far away from the city center.
It's hard, I mean, because they need a lot of space,
mm-hmm.
Especially as tourism increases over the years, you need additional runways and bigger terminals, and
exactly.
There just isn't that much space in, like, downtown areas.
Yeah, so I just feel like every city that's doing a project like this needs to have an express train to the city. I mean, but the cab was cheap. It was $20 US, and it wasn't a big deal, but with traffic, it would have been miserable.
How did you choose to get around there? Was it just cabs the whole time, or did you take Ubers?
Well, I was in the city only for about 2 days. So the first day, we walked everywhere. We stayed right close in Sultanahmet, which is, like, the main tourist area, mm-hmm. which is where like the Hagia Sophia, the Blue Mosque, Topkapi Palace, all these places, that's where they are. So we could just kind of walk from one to the next, no problem. And then if we wanted to go elsewhere, we did take a taxi or two, but mostly walked.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, I would say that. I think if you know your route and you like know where you're going or have an idea of where you're going, it's walkable for sure. But taxis are easy. Even if you don't speak Turkish, you can show them the address on your phone of where you're going and they'll get you there no problem. And they're all metered. We never had a problem with the taxi meters or anything like that.
You've been all around the world. First time in Turkey, but did Istanbul remind you of any other cities or did it meet your expectations?
It did not remind me of anywhere else. You know, you hear the call to prayer walking around in the city, which is really cool. My friend noticed this and told me that, you know, looking out into the cityscape, it kind of reminded her of a Star Wars landscape because of the minarets like dotting the sky. It was all gray. It just kind of looked like a really cool, like it's ancient, but it almost looked super futuristic the way that the mosques were constructed and that kind of stuff.
So you're there for a couple days, which is probably a decent amount of time to work in a stopover maybe if you're connecting on Turkish Airlines and going somewhere else, especially now that the airport's a bit further out. You don't want to go to the city for maybe 4 hours. I mean, you're going to be spending half that time getting to and from the airport.
Totally. Yeah. I think you probably need a good day. And if you had one day, you could see the top tourist sites because they are so close to each other. You know, we did that kind of the first day. And then the second day kind of chilled a little bit and, you know, went into the more
obscure
foodie drink neighborhood, you know. Or
living as a local almost.
You know, where the coffee shops are and all that kind of stuff.
What would you say? So maybe looking back to that first day that you had there, were five of the top activities that, you know, you should not leave Istanbul without completing?
Yeah, so the first thing we did was when we lined up for the Hagia Sophia, we bought a Istanbul Museum pass.
And for people that don't know, that's that famous Blue Mosque?
So the Hagia Sophia and the Blue Mosque are two different things.
Ah, okay.
They're like across a square from each other, basically. The Hagia Sophia was a Byzantine cathedral, then it was converted into a mosque, and now it's a museum. The Blue Mosque is still an active mosque today, so you can only go in certain times. But the pass, we paid 220 Turkish lira, which is about $40, gets you into five or six museums, and it's valid for 5 days. The lines were super, super long, even early in the morning. When it's hot out in the summer, you do not want to be waiting in those lines. So was worth it alone.
What else does that include? Is it multiple museums?
Or? Yeah, so you can go into the Hagia Sophia, Blue Mosque, Topkapi Palace, which is where like the harem, the famous harem is. It's really cool. You could spend like a whole day in that area. Then there's forgot what it's called, but it's like a cistern, an underground cistern, and a few others that I forgot that we did not have.
But
the
definitely,
chance to
see. If you don't like lines and you don't have a lot of time in Istanbul, that is definitely a good way to beat the crowds.
Yes, 100%. Definitely recommend buying that. Another great thing that we did was we took a cruise along the Bosphorus, which is the river that separates the European and Asian sides of Istanbul. We walked from our hotel in Sultanahmet to a station called Eminönü. It's like a huge area. Everyone's kind of hanging out there. It's just right by the river. It's where all the tour companies kind of dock the boats and the ferries that take people across the
Bosphorus.
Got
it. So if you don't, I mean, you did an hour and a half sunset cruise, but you could also take a ferry across and kind of see it that way for cheaper.
Yeah, you could too. Probably cheaper.
Just depends on what you're after.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the weather was kind of bad there, so it was clearing up. So we're like, oh, the sunset's going to be beautiful, so let's do that. You see kind of the famous sights, but also the kind of maritime culture that this city has too. Even though it's just the river, it's very water centric. These kids were jumping into the Bosphorus River off these bridges. Like it was really cool. And under one of the bridges there are all these like fish, really local fish shops that, you know, sell fish sandwiches and grilled fish and whatever they are.
Oh,
so
awesome.
Really cheap and like local. Then we went back to where we started at the Eminönü station. Then we walked across the Galata Bridge to another area of town. This is still the European side, but kind of the central part of that area is called Galata Tower, and it's this old tower that you can climb up and have amazing views of the city from. The line's very long for that too. And around there, there's like a whole area called, I'm going to butcher this, Beyoğlu, and that's kind of an area that has a lot of bars and restaurants and shops and, you know, record stores and, you know, shoe shops and all that kind of stuff.
Kind of like the cool night.
Yeah, kind of cool. That's like where the Soho House is and like, you know, just kind of cool hipster people hanging out there.
So I want to work in some reader questions. I solicited some questions on Instagram. And first we have one from Liz. And I know that we talked about some of the activities, but
yeah.
She said, what are some of the must-try foods and activities? And I know that We definitely want to talk about food. That's one of the reasons that you go to Istanbul and spend some time.
Yes. The food is incredible. You just go to any cafe on the street and you're going to be able to get like a traditional Turkish meal, which is like kebab and a lot of lamb.
No, the kebabs, is it like cubes of meat on a skewer?
Yeah, it's more like minced meat kind of. Like in like long,
it's like a sausage almost.
Yeah, exactly. It looks like a long, very long sausage and kind of like flat. And then you order with that, like you can order hummus and baba ganoush and every single type of yogurt sauce you can imagine. A lot of places serve this really fluffy pita bread that's kind of like filled with air, and then you pop it and then it deflates.
Perfect medium for all that stuff they bring out.
Exactly. Yeah, that was definitely a highlight. Turkish coffee and Turkish tea is a huge cultural thing there. I don't personally drink coffee, but I had to try one anyway. It was very potent.
Yeah.
Very potent.
It's almost like a little spice to it.
Yeah. My friend told me that it's because the beans are unfiltered and that, and like it kind of like you kind of leave at the bottom leftover coffee.
Yeah, there's like some residue there.
Yeah. I don't really know coffee, but it was good. I like the tea a lot. The tea culture is really, really cool. It costs like 20 cents for a cup of tea, and it's just a nice way to relax and it's delicious.
Do you get a Turkish delight with every cup of coffee there too?
I don't think.
Okay,
I
definitely paired them with each coffee. That's for sure. It's just like this little tiny. It's like a rectangle.
Yeah,
sweet. Yeah, chewy. It's hard to describe.
It's kind of like nutty, but chewy, but kind of sweet.
Yeah,
powdered sugar on top. Yeah.
Oh man, they're so good.
A lot of Turkish delight.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's very good and it's very real.
And they serve them in Turkish Airlines too.
Yes.
So any other must-try food? Are there specific restaurants that you would seek out? Or was it just kind of like, keep it casual?
Our goal was to keep it as casual as possible and just kind of walked by places that looked good and hopped in. And but I do know that Istanbul has amazing restaurants that are definitely worth going. I don't remember the names, but, you know, I've read about places that have tasting menus and that are at least known around Europe for being pretty amazing.
So. Yeah. So it sounds like you can just plan a stopover, go into the city,
totally.
See lots of great things, have amazing food, and not really plan too much in advance before you get there.
Yeah, no, certainly.
One thing, though, is, and we've been getting this question a lot, I think at least a dozen people asked, but Andrew says, is it safe for American travelers in particular? You know, did you feel targeted in any way or like unsafe in certain areas? It sounds like you walked a lot. So.
I never did. I felt completely safe while I was there. It was actually interesting because one of our days in the city was National Turkish Democracy and Remembrance Day. It was like the day that the coup was attempted.
That reminds me of the
ago.
Name of that lounge. Remember they changed the lounge?
Yeah. it was like, it's like the exact same name of the lounge, but like they have a day now enshrined. And that was a little bit interesting just because we all know what happened on that. We all know, you know.
It's crazy to think that was
attempt.
Pretty recent.
I know, but it was 3 years ago and. Yeah, we were there. So on one of those days that we were there, it was very, very, very crowded. Like it must have been a work holiday because the streets were packed, absolutely packed. And we were going through the Egyptian spice market. It was so claustrophobic. I didn't feel unsafe at all, but like I couldn't even get through the whole thing. I just had to, you know, find the nearest exit because it was just too many people. But no, other than that, the people were great, you know. It was fun. One of the moments that I thought was really funny is that we were just walking down a street and we looked up and saw this little kitten on this building.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of cats all
over there. Yeah, and this kitten was walking along the ledge of this building, like very high up. I don't know how it got there, but everyone was so concerned and, you know, taking their phones out and like they were calling the police and the fire department showed up and they were going up on the cherry picker to rescue this kitten. But the kitten then like ran under the scaffolding, so they like couldn't get it. But it was kind of like an adorable scene.
Yeah,
and I'm really sad that we couldn't see them rescue the kitten. But I think that Istanbul is a huge city, and you take the same precautions that you would in any other town of a similar size, like New York or Los Angeles, or you know,
be aware of pickpockets. Essentially,
yeah, definitely. I mean, I didn't bring much out with me. I took some Turkish lira and wrapped up like my debit card. In my ID and one credit card, you know, just in case to bring with me and put it in my front pocket. And I had my phone just like I kind of held it the whole time. And there's so much going on. It's so hectic. There's so much going on. It's kind of hard to stand out almost.
So you went in kind of the middle of summer.
Yes.
So when I went, it was actually after the Dubai Air Show. So it was in November.
Ah, cold.
And it was chilly. It was actually, so you prefer hot weather. I like, you know, 70s is pretty good for me. So when I went, it was probably like low 70s. It was very, very pleasant, but it wasn't crowded. You know, there were not too many tourists. And the weather was great. Clear skies, you know, shorter days, but it was it was fantastic. So, you know, if you don't have to travel there in the summer, might want to consider shoulder season too.
I mean, in cities, even though I do like the heat when I'm sitting on the beach, when it's really hot in a city and you're walking around all day, I don't love it.
Yeah.
Actually, we had lower temperatures than you had, though. We were like mid-60s and kind of rainy and cloudy.
Oh.
It was weird.
Oh.
It was totally weird.
I'm just picturing it being like
really
hot.
And it usually is. People are like, we don't know what's going on. Mm-hmm. They're like, we have no idea where this came from. This is like completely out of the blue. But then it cleared up the second half of the second day and it became beautiful. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
So I always like to ask this, usually at the beginning, but who is Istanbul for? You know, is it families? Is it couples? You know, solo travelers?
I think that if you're a family with young kids, it's probably not the best.
It's a lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking. It's a lot
of steps.
Yeah, a lot of steps. It's very hilly. There's a lot of historical significance that is going to be lost on the children, you know, if they're especially young. That being said, I don't think they shouldn't go. I just think it's, you know, it's not as accessible or, you know, even as interesting for kids that age as like London would be, you know, because the London Eye and, you know, the fun kind of attraction stuff. Definitely solo travelers, couples. I think it's a great place for both of those types of travelers to go. There's so much to do. You go even as a solo traveler and, you know, go on a few tours and I'm sure you'll meet people from all over the world that are visiting that city and you'll make friends and have plenty of places to go drink and eat and all that kind of stuff.
So I want to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to dig into some flight and hotel options for your trip to Turkey.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Nick, you were already in Europe when you flew into Istanbul, but so you flew in from Nice. Was it a 3-hour flight, something like that?
Yeah, about 3 hours.
But if you're coming from the U.S., it's quite a distance, but Istanbul and Turkey in particular, on several word charts, counts as Europe. So, you know, Western Europe, it's the same number of miles.
Right.
So you can get a huge great value, essentially, because you get a 10-hour flight for, you know,
the same price as the 6-hour to London.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Turkish Airlines flies from a handful of gateway cities in the U.S. and North America. In the New York area, we've got JFK. There's a Newark flight as well. They've got the Dreamliner coming. There's Washington, D.C. There's Miami.
It's Atlanta.
Atlanta.
Chicago.
Chicago.
West Coast.
San Francisco.
LA and San Francisco.
Lots of options.
Yeah.
And then you can also fly other carriers as well. But if you really want to, you know, start off your trip with the real Turkish experience, especially if you're in business class, because it's a fun business class.
Yeah, you've flown that in business.
Yeah, I did. So back on my way home from the Dubai Air Show, I got two flights on wide-body planes. So I had the A330 at first, which is 222 in business class, and then the 777, which is 232, which does mean that you can get a middle seat in business, which is not ideal. The product itself, the hard product, is not great. It's fine, especially if you're going with, you know, with a companion. But the new business class, though,
looks to be a
reverse
lot better.
Yeah. 121, definitely a step up. But award availability for a while, at least a couple of years ago, was outstanding.
Yeah, you could find it all the time. It's a little
It's harder to come
now.
By now, definitely.
Yeah. You know, if you can find it, you can book with United or Aeroplan, so you can use your Chase or your Amex points and book for 70,000 United each way and 57,500 Aeroplan each way, which is, like you said, is an amazing deal.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because the food, I mean, I haven't flown it, but whenever people talk about Turkish Airlines, they say the food is just out of this world good.
It's from Doe & Co., which is an Austrian caterer. But it's really good food. And just the whole process, they come and they set up the tablecloth, which is nothing out of the ordinary, but they They do it. They really set it up. They really set it up. They line up your, you know, your napkin holder and your, and
right.
your all your silverware, and they put a little LED candle on the table.
Makes the little
they
things.
They dim the lights. It's just a whole process. It's like a food parade. It's a lot of fun. So.
And there's like an onboard chef, isn't there? Like the
there
white
is.
Hat.
Yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. So there's a chef who comes to take your order, and I must do something in the galley. I don't know. It's pretty rare to
turns
have
on
a,
the ovens.
A business class chef. Exactly. It's not like they can make custom meals necessarily, but you know they can maybe do modifications. But I would say like the food and just the flight attendants, just the service is aspect of it is makes Turkish worthwhile. But if you can't find availability on Turkish, or if you're you know going to Europe beforehand, there are plenty of options and still the same redemption amounts.
I mean, so many airlines fly into Istanbul because it's such an international global city. So you know you can fly Lufthansa, Swiss, Austrian. And Star Alliance alone,
BA,
Iberia, Air France, KLM, all all of the above.
Definitely lots of different flight options.
Totally.
I've noticed with the cash fares, especially when I was flying back, it was the same price for me to work in a stopover in Istanbul.
Yep.
So might not
That's
always
great.
Be the case,
yeah.
but it just depends on the fare. So take a look at the multi-city option.
Definitely.
Don't just say, oh, well, it's giving me, you know, I can get a 9-hour layover. Do multi-city. Fly in one day, check to see like if you stay a couple days, is it the same price? If it is, see
you
new country.
Absolutely should do it, yeah, without a doubt.
And where did you stay when you were in Istanbul? So you were very centrally located, but what hotel did you choose?
We were at the Four Seasons Sultanahmet.
Oh, Four Seasons guy. All right.
Yep. The price was so good. It was like $250 a night, and then I was splitting it with a friend, so it was just when we were there for just two nights, so.
Did you book through Amex FHR?
Yep. We got the $100 food and bev credit, free breakfast, which was out of this world. Like the breakfast, they had an extensive make your own juice station. They had like a Turkish kind of like a crepe situation going on. They had, you know, the omelets. They had the fruit was amazing. The meats, the cheeses. It was like an hours long affair. The hotel is like. It was beautiful. It was like, you know, very kind of old classic style, but very quiet. The staff was great. A really good value for your money there.
There are a number of points hotel options, but don't overlook Amex FHR. I just completed my second Four Seasons stay over the last few weeks. Because of Amex FHR, I did Kuala Lumpur.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Which is great because it was about $150 and I got $100 spa credit.
Right. So.
And then I just did True North in Scottsdale, Arizona, which was, I think the rate was $230, but I got $100 credit there and free breakfast. And so in the end, I mean, it's a heck of a deal.
Totally. Yeah. And one of the nights we used the $100 food and beverage credit at the other Four Seasons property to have dinner because it's right on the Bosphorus. And it was incredible.
Oh, that's pretty cool that you can do that, too.
Well, we called, and...
They were like, we'll charge it to your room, sure.
Yeah, and then, well, I asked them, I was like, can we use the food and beverage credit at the other Four Seasons property? And then they transferred me to someone else, and I don't really think that the question was really understood correctly, because they're like, yeah, of course. And then we got back, and it was on the bill, and I was like, well, before... I called this property here just to make sure that we could do that before we did, and they took it off just fine, but I don't think it's explicitly said.
Oh,
but
okay. This is your mileage may vary situation.
Yes, exactly. But it worked out, and it was beautiful.
So I stayed at the Park Hyatt, which...
I was going to stay there, but then I switched at the last minute.
It was a good call to switch because, the Park Hyatt, it's a beautiful hotel, but if you're walking around, then it's a bit further out, and it's up a long hill.
Wow.
And there's not much to see in that area. So I was also on foot.
Okay.
But I was spending a lot of time getting to and from the hotel just between the sites.
Yeah.
So worth keeping in mind. And then, of course, you know, you've got plenty of Marriott options.
Tons, yeah. There's a St. Regis, a W, Ritz-Carlton, at least one or two Marriott
and
branded.
Conrad
and
Hilton. Person. Yep.
Yeah.
Plenty of points and miles options. So Istanbul hotels, or even the nicer hotels, can be relatively reasonably priced.
Yep.
So check the cash rates before you pull the trigger on an award.
Definitely.
But if you're going during a peak period or maybe there's some kind of event.
Yeah, and you're going to get a great value for your points.
Definitely. So I have one more question. I want to end with Chris's question here. How long should you go for? We talked about that. So, I mean, a couple days is pretty short. But
yeah, I would ideally probably have 3 full days. And, you know, if you had more time, I think, you know, even one more would be great. I think there's so much to see. And, you know, you can really slow down and you know, get a taste of the local way of life there. Yeah, because I think it's really unique, and I think that that would be a really good use of your time. But I'd say probably three is ideal, because you do tend to arrive late in the day, just the way that the flights are, because they are so much longer. Right.
Evening flight to Western Europe, from the U.S.
Yeah, you're going to still arrive at, like, you know, 3 o'clock, and by the time you get into the city, that day is you're going to dinner, and it's done.
Right.
You know, there's really not much else you can do. So, and you'll be jet lagged. I would definitely do at least 3 full days.
And the second part of Chris's question is, are there any other cities or areas worth visiting besides Istanbul?
Yes, definitely. One that's I wish I could have gone to is Cappadocia, where they do the
hot air balloons
over the cave dwellings. Yeah, that looks amazing. But somewhere I did go was the beach on what's known as the Turkish Riviera. The area is called Bodrum. It's on the Aegean Sea, so it's close to Greece. Bodrum is like a huge peninsula, and then there are like little towns in, you know, each area. So we flew into Bodrum Airport from Istanbul and then took a cab for almost an hour and stayed at the Edition in Bodrum, which was phenomenal.
Oh, so it's kind of like a small town, but they still have some Western hotel chains.
Yeah. Okay. There are a lot of small towns, but also where we were, it was called Yalakavak or something like that. And there was like this huge marina, like apparently a lot of Ukrainian billionaires go park their yachts there. It's a very like glamorous Mykonos situation. But we also found just as far away was much more like traditional towns that you have just like the beachside place where you can eat fish and traditional Turkish food. And it's really cheap. But yeah, there are like beach clubs everywhere. The water's gorgeous. The scenery is gorgeous. It's like, it's very mountainous and rugged, but it's kind of like greener than you'd think of like Mykonos, which is very kind of deserty, or Santorini, which is, you know, kind of dry, but it was very green and beautiful.
Sounds like the best of both worlds.
Definitely. Yeah. It was a great place to relax, but also, you know, go out and have fun.
Thanks so much for joining us, Nick. If someone wants to follow along on your adventures, where can they find you on social media?
I'm on Instagram at @Nellis_Ellis.
And @Nellis_Ellis. Well, safe travel, sir.
Thank you, Zach.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.